this series about the goodness of God and the fruit that it bears and how we can partner with his goodness and what it looks like as believers to be in relationship with a good God. And today I have the joy of speaking on the fact that we are created for good works. Can you go ahead and say that? Created for good works. You know, I've been married for 18 years this year. That's right. That's right. To a really awesome husband. And I don't know about you, but anytime I enter a new relationship, especially one that's going to be close and intimate, whether it's a friendship or a working relationship, I want to get to know that person pretty well, right? You want to know what motivates them, what makes them have a good day, how to avoid them on a bad day. I mean, how to know when they're having a bad day and how to bless them. You know, you want to know as much as you can about those people that are going to be closest to you so that you can walk good. Well, and if you're married, there's nobody who's they're in your face all the time, whether you like it or not. So you better know your spouse. And so when we first got married, we got really into the love languages. Anybody know about those? It's a kind of a personality assessment for marriages, and it was written, there's five, now they have them for children and for your pets and for the whole world, and because everything has to be for everything. And there were five, I submitted two more, food and coffee. Nobody asked my opinion. I hear an amen all over this place online. If you are a food and coffee love language person, go ahead and put an emoji in there for me. But technically, the top five are physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, and gifts. Can I hear an amen to gifts and gifts and gifts? Gifts are not my love language, but I do love me some gifts, so feel free to love me any way you like. So anyways, when Chris and I first got married, we thought it would be fun to figure out what each other's love languages were without actually taking the assessment or reading the book. We're just making it up. And I was like, I got you pegged. I know exactly what you are. And I told him, and he was like, I think you're right. And he's like, well, which one are you? I said, I don't have one. And he was like, stop it. I'm like, I don't. I have them all. And you're just going to have to do them all until you figure it out. All of them, quality time, gifts, acts of service, say all the nice things about me, because I'm not telling. Because honestly, I wasn't sure I knew. And so we had this little game for a while where I knew his, and he would always say, I think I figured yours out. I'm like, I don't have one, until one day. It's a Saturday, we're home. We've been married just a few months, and Chris is working outside. I was going to say something sassy, but I decided not to. He was working outside, and then he came in, and I said, hey, what have you been doing? He's like, I'm just doing some stuff outside. I said, oh, what were you doing? He's like, I just changed your spark plugs. Well, I almost fell out in the spirit right there. I was like, honey, you're the cutest man I've ever known in my whole life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. What can I do for you? Can I wash your feet? Can I iron your clothes? What can I make for dinner for you? And I got crazy, and all of a sudden he stops and he's like, acts of service is your love language. And I was like, apparently it is. So did you want to go ahead and do the dishes too while we're here? Because now that we know, we might as well just keep this thing going. And the reality is we all love for someone to do something good and kind for us. Is that true? Is that amen? That we often feel loved when someone else does something good for us. But today I'm not talking about love languages or personality traits or giftings or affinities or preferences. Today I'm just talking about the language of the goodness of God that overflows through those who have experienced it and bear his name. Can I hear an amen? See, this is not for those of us who doing good things is easy for. This is for all of us who have tasted of the goodness of God. Our passage is out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, and it's one that we are all very familiar with. So I'm going to read it. Read it with me in your Bible. I have it on the screen, and then we'll talk more about it. And this is Paul talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says this, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace. Say grace. Grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace. Say grace. In kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, go ahead, you know what to do. Grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Will you read this whole passage, this little verse with me all together online too? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, this passage is really about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And it is often used to highlight the fact that we are saved by grace, which is why I had to say that 150 times, not by works. It had nothing to do with us and everything to do with the loving Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. That while we were dead in our trespasses, had nothing to offer, had nothing to say about our situation, Jesus died for us. This is the good news of the gospel. But it's interesting that the end of this passage talks about good works. Paul just finishes saying in verse 9, your salvation is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. And then he goes ahead and says, but you need to do some good works. You are called to do good works. No more than that, you are created to do good works. And there can be tension in this passage. Well, I don't have to do good works because I don't need it for my salvation. But James makes it clear that if you are saved, your faith should produce good works. And so there can be this back and forth, and I say, let's just stop fighting. What if we receive our salvation by grace? I didn't do anything for it. But once I taste of that goodness and I see what Jesus has done for me, it is my joy and great privilege to reveal him to everybody that I know, not just by sharing the gospel, but by living it out in all that I do. Because in the end, we cannot work for our salvation, but salvation produces good works in us. It sanctifies us. It draws us into a place of walking in holiness. The fruit of the Spirit begin to be manifest. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. Aren't those things you can see with your eyes? Those are in us through and because of Christ Jesus. And the evidence of our relationship with Christ is not just the promise of eternal life and salvation, though praise be to God for that. I'm always saying thank God for eternity because it doesn't end here. This is just the beginning when we know Jesus. But it is seen by those around us through the good works that ensue our relationship with Jesus. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. What does this passage reveal about us and these good works that we are called to, that we are created for by Christ Jesus? And I believe there are four things that these good works reveal in us and from us that the world needs to see. Are you ready? If you got notes, you can take notes this way, take pictures. I'll smile. Just kidding. All right. Are you ready? The first one is simply this. Good works, our good works, are anchored in right identity. Good works are anchored in right identity. Paul starts that passage quickly by saying, we are his workmanship. It doesn't say, do good works so that you can be his workmanship. It stops and it says, you are his workmanship. You are the one who is made and designed in the image of God himself. The Greek word for workmanship is actually the word translated into English into a poem. You are a reflection of the beauty of his creation. You are, another word, is his masterpiece. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, you are a masterpiece. It's okay if you said it with a British accent because it feels more masterpiece-ish. You are his masterpiece. You are unique and beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully made, says Psalm 139. You are the Creator's pinnacle creation. In Genesis 1 and 2, it clearly talks about the creation of all things, heaven and earth, sun and moon, animals and fish and birds, day and night. And it was all good. Until God created humankind. And then he said, what about it? Go ahead and tell me. It was very good. And I believe that in that time before sin marred us, that we did good because we walked with good. Scripture says that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the eve. And when you walk with pure goodness, you can't help but reflect goodness. So from the very beginning, we were created in the image of goodness. And then sin came. And it robbed us of the fullness of our inheritance. And evil began to seep into humanity. And goodness was a lot harder to see and to find and to live from. Oh, but praise be to God that while we were dead in our trespasses, while we were still tainted by sin, Jesus came, gave his life so we can be restored into right identity with our Creator, infusing us with the very reality of what we were made to do to begin with. Walk in his goodness and reflect his goodness everywhere we went. Psalm 119, 68 says, you are good, O God, and you do good. And when we are made in his image, he invites us to do good as well. John, 3 John 1:11 says this, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Imitate means mirror. Look like, follow after. Whoever does good is from God, and whoever does evil has not seen God. In the Greek, the is from speaks about origination. It's not that the good work is from God. It is you yourself comes from God, and when you are doing good works, it shows where you began. And what's really in you. So you can't do good works, not for real, without right identity. And here's the thing, if you were to try to do good works out of your own strength, you would fail miserably. You would get real tired. You would get real proud. You would get in real trouble. But praise be to God for the grace of Jesus Christ that restores us to the identity of God who does good through those who are submitted to him. So first and foremost, good works are anchored in right identity in Jesus Christ. Secondly, good works reveal our true transformation. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. The fullness of God is revealed in us when we find ourselves in Christ Jesus. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And Christ reveals the goodness of God. So Christ in me, as I'm being transformed into his likeness, reveals good works. Y'all see where I'm going with this? See, when we come into Christ, we are not how we were. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become fixed up, painted over, polished up. They get a hairbrush. No. It's made entirely new. Today, if you are in Christ, the newness of your life will be best seen through the good works that reveal your Father in heaven. Hebrews 10, 22 through 24 says this, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith," faith that comes by grace. So the assurance doesn't come from the good works, it comes from what? Grace in Jesus Christ and faith in that grace, "with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water," which speaks of baptism, which is what we are coming into. We are fully identified with Jesus Christ. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." It could stop there. You know what? I'm just going to be a Christian and I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back because he's faithful. Oh, no. They continue this and says, "And let us consider how to stir up." Go ahead, say stir up. "Stir up one another to love and what? Good works." Listen, some of us know how to stir up a whole lot of things. It's generally followed up with a big mess. I stir up drama. I know how to stir up an argument. I know how to stir up some stuff. But the Word of God calls us to consider calling each other to stir up love and good works. The next scripture says, "And don't stop assembling together, coming together," because it's in the togetherness that we say, "What have you done this week? How did you show off God? How did you show Jesus to your neighbors? How did you show Jesus in your household? Oh, you too tired to show it off because you need some good works? Guess what? I got a few for you. Let me bless you. Let me love you. Let me show God's good works to you so that you can be rejuvenated and refreshed and go out and do the good works of God everywhere you go." The body of Christ is not just a pretty gathering, although y'all are pretty, but it is to show forth the praises of the one who has called us into his kingdom. We are to call each other and stir each other up for good works. Y'all, if you're going to provoke each other to do better things. If you're going to provoke each other, cause it to result in good works for the kingdom of God. Well, we're about to come into an election cycle. Let's just pray. Jesus. Now listen. I don't have to say much, but listen. What if instead of stirring up political divisiveness, political parties, ideologies, what if we stirred each other up for good works? And let the church just look a little different than the world. Oh, I felt like the Lord said last night when I was preaching at Saturday night, I just saw this army. I'm like, what if New Life, 3,000 plus people decided on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. to do good works across Hampton Roads? What would that do to testify of our Savior Jesus Christ? There'd be no doubt that he was alive because we decided to show him out all together for his glory. Good works come out of good identity, out of right identity. Good works reveal the transformation of our lives, that it's Jesus first, everything else comes next. And we stir one another to love and good works. But good works also displays our purpose. That scripture says that we were created in Christ for good works. It's actually part of our created entity. It is your purpose. I don't know why I'm here on this earth. Listen, purpose is a big word, right? I don't know about you, but I ask every day, I don't know what my purpose is. What am I doing? I'm doing 150 things, and I'm still like, I don't know what my purpose is. You know, I'm getting a doctorate right now. God bless America. That's a whole situation. I'm getting my doctorate in ministry, and I'm almost at the end. Like, y'all, I'm at the finish line. I'm right at the edge. right at the edge. And so I was texting my family about it, and I was like, Lord Jesus, have mercy, but I'm getting a little excited. And so my nephew texts me, and he's so cute, and he's like, Aunt Tina, I'm so proud of you. And he's 14. Y'all know about my nephews. They're grown men now. They got facial hair. I don't even know what to do about that. Anyways, I digress. Aunt Tina, I'm so proud of you. So what are you going to do with it? Now when you get your doctorate, then what are you going to do with it? And I texted him back and I said, I really don't know. You know, I could do this or this, but I don't know. I wrote it down because I need you to hear his words. I can't find it, but I'm going to tell you anyways. The next text that came after I don't know was, bruh. All the parents, all the teachers, all the people started in all capitals. Bruh, it's a single solitary word in a text, and he hit send. And then the next text said, how are you going to do all that work and you don't know what it's going to get you? Literally, I got put in place by my 14-year-old. Bruh. Why? Because we're driven towards purpose. We're driven to like, this has to mean this. Do this so that you can get this. Do this because it says that you are this. The word of God says do good works because it is the purpose for which you were created. If you don't know what to do and what you're called to do, do something good for someone who needs it. And I guarantee you will be walking in the fullness of your purpose as designed by a creator God. See, our identity is set in who we are in Christ. We are a workmanship, a masterpiece. But our purpose is in the activity or the fruit that that identity produces. Titus 2, 11 through 14 says this. For the grace, say grace. I'm going to highlight that in just a second. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Again, never confusing works with salvation. Grace always is attached to saving faith. If you ever, ever, ever feel like you're working for your salvation, stop it. Can I say that? Stop it. Be done. That is a lie of the enemy. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. Grace, salvation for all people. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to add this, we are 14. And while you wait, that's Tina saying, and while you wait for the one who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own passion, why don't you go ahead and zealously go after good works? We are zealous. We are called to be zealous for good works. Our purpose isn't just to do them at will when we feel like it on a good day when the sun is shining and we got a raise. No, no, no. While we wait for the return of our Savior, while we walk out our salvation, while we are purified and be made holy, we are to zealously. Do y'all know what zealously means? It's actually got a little crazy to the side of it. Zealous means I can't do it enough. Zealous is like, I can't wait. One translation says, be jealous of someone else who's doing it more than you. What? It's the only time you're supposed to outdo somebody. Don't compare yourself, except for if somebody's doing good works for Jesus Christ. You'd be like, oh, me too, me too, me too. Zealously do good works. Here's the interesting about good works as part of our purpose. You know, when some people, we all have a filter, right? Everybody has a filter the way we hear words, and words mean something. So when you hear good works, you're like, oh my God, I got to go to Africa and build a hut. Jeez. Or I'm going to have to move to Haiti and build a house. I got to do some good works. Pastor David, can I come and help you with the homeless population to do good works for you over there? Because I got to do that and not sleep for 24 hours so I could do good works for Jesus. Uh-uh. Do you know what the Greek word means for good works? I'm going to go ahead and tell you. You ready for this? To do anything at all that we do. To do anything at all that we do. Art, work, business, anything we put our hands to, any undertaking that is honorable, excellent, useful, or joyful, that is considered a good work unto Jesus Christ. Go ahead and look at your hands. Look at your hands right now. Everybody online, look at your hands. Whatever these find to do, do it as a good work unto God. Yes, go build a house in Haiti, send money to folks, do all of that. But that isn't your good work. Your good work is whatever God has assigned you to do today. There's no hierarchy. There's no like, oh, this is a good work, but this is a medium work. I can't find in scripture about medium works or little baby works. There's the no works. There's evil works. But good works are anything that is the overflow of your service to your Savior. Changing diapers, good work. Changing sparkler plugs, great work. Getting up every day, going to work at 9 a.m., coming back at 5 o'clock to feed your family, love your wife, and take care of your kids, good work. Encouraging somebody, it's a good work. Sharing your lunch with someone at school, good work. Slipping a 20 to somebody that you know might need something, good work. The list is long and it's varied and it's individual, but all of us are called for a purpose because we're created to do good works in Christ Jesus. Be zealous about it. And finally, good works are the fruit of the discipline of obedience. Nobody likes discipline of obedience because, see, we want to do good works because we feel like we want to do good works, right? On that good day. But what about on the day when you're in the valley of the shadow of death and you're thinking, there is no good work in me. I got nothing to give. I got nothing to give. This is where I remind you that this call is by grace. It is not a burden and it is not on your shoulders. It is an overflow of grace that is given to you. And I would go so far as to say this. If you operate in a good work, as small as you find it to be, in the name of Christ, He will give it back to you according to the riches of His grace to sustain you in your time of need, in your time of pain, in your time of sorrow, in your time of, I need a good work. Jesus says, I've got you covered. I've got you covered. What if in your obedience, you come and mend my heart because it's broken? What if in your obedience, you are Christ to somebody else who would have never seen Him? God prepared good works beforehand from the beginning of time that we should walk in them. Two parts to this obedience. Number one, we've got to know God. We've got to walk with Him. We've got to learn how to hear Him. We have to know what He's saying in order to know what He's prepared for us. We have to be sensitive to the Spirit so that we can then do the second part. Walk in them. Pastor Dan always says, don't pray your, think your prayers, say your prayers. I would say, don't think about the good works, do them. In this particular, good intentions do not equal good works. We have to walk in them. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27 says this, and it's a prophetic call, I believe, to the people of God, what Jesus will do. And He says, and I will give you a new heart, transformation, and a new identity, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In verse 27, and I will put my spirit, say spirit, within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and in my just decrees, in my ways. I love that it's the Spirit of God that helps us to walk in the good works. Oh, today I just cut off any yoke and burden of performance in the name of Jesus. I fall in that category all the time. I'm constantly like, don't work harder just because you think Jesus is going to like you better. He already likes you all the way. He's going to like you. But because he likes you so much, what if you just did good works to honor him? And it's only by his grace. Only by his grace. And by the Spirit that will cause us to walk in them. So as I close, if the musicians can come, how do we identify Christ-like good works? How do we know that we're doing it like Jesus? See, it says in Acts that Jesus went about healing the sick and doing good to all that he encountered. Jesus did good in spite of what he knew humanity would do to him. So how do we do this like Christ? In verses 4 through 10 of what we just read, I believe there's a few takeaways, and I'm just going to hit them real quick. Number one, Jesus did good for all humanity, and he was motivated by love. When we do good works that are like Christ, we are motivated by love, not by duty, obligation, guilt, coercion, or recognition. We do it by love. While we were dead in our trespasses, he died for us. While someone is unlovable, we love them and do good works. Secondly, Christ-like good works have life-giving results. Have life-giving results. It says that he called us, we were made alive in Christ and raised up with Jesus in heavenly places. What if we used our good works to raise people up? The oppressed, the marginalized, the rejected, the outcast. Our good works result in life to those who receive it. They are freely offered, freely given. It's by grace. These are those random gift acts of kindness, the best ones, right? In the Starbucks drive-thru when you just ordered the $19 venti caramel macchiato with an extra shot, 4 shots of espresso, and a breakfast sandwich on the side. And the car in front, and then you go to pay your $80 million, your school payment to Starbucks. And they say, oh, don't worry about it. The person ahead of you got it. And you'll never know who that person is. You'll never be able to thank that person. But I'll tell you who you can thank. Your Father in heaven, who prepared that good work in advance for you to receive it. Freely offered so that no one gets credit by God himself. It is full of kindness. Jesus, his grace, is part of an immeasurable richness in kindness, in goodness. It's generous. It's not tit for tat. I don't give you what you gave me. Well, if you were kind, I'll be kind. But you weren't kind, so moving right along. Nah, we do good works, not in kind. We do them out of the immeasurable grace that we have received, we give. And finally, they always point back to God. Because it's not by works. It's not because of us so that we cannot boast, but it's a gift. Matthew 5 and 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine. Let your goodness show forth. So that they may see your good works. See them. They have to be seen, evidenced, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I love what Charles Spurgeon says, and it's on the screen. He says this, "This should be our daily exercise, more than push-ups, 4-mile run, and a cold plunge. That we should walk in them. Good works are not to be an amusement, but a vocation. We are not to indulge in them occasionally, but they are to be the tenor and the bent of our lives." Today I call us higher. I call me to be more like Jesus and to walk in the good works that God created for me in Christ Jesus to do so that God would receive the glory. Before I end, I just want everyone to close your eyes and bow your head. Put your hands out in front of you if you would. Online as well. I asked Holy Spirit that He would deposit a person and an act into the hearts of each one who were willing and desiring to begin to take this walk with God. Lord, right now, every heart that is open, every hand that is extended, every eye that is closed, every heart that says, "God, who and what? Who am I supposed to love even when I leave this place? What is the good work that will show forth your goodness? God, would I walk in obedience out of my identity in you, revealing the transformation of God, stepping into my purpose, that I would be like Christ and do good everywhere I go?" Today, I pray there would be testimonies next week that would stir one another up zealously to do more good works, that God would be glorified in this season. Lord, I bless your people to walk in the grace of Jesus Christ, that they would taste and see how good you are, and then reveal that goodness to somebody they know. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Church, would you say amen?